peeps. Here we are.
Matchbox 20 has somebody great open for them. I really would like a great double bill on that concert.
Like Blink 182?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Apparently, there's a video going around right now, Grant, of Blink 182 singing Dr. Seuss. It came out today. They're singing Dr. Seuss lyrics.
Yeah, but hard and fast, like all the small things.
Emo.
Yeah, like one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Yeah, that's such a great song, all the small things.
I don't even know it. Do you know it? Do I know it?
182. Oh, I used to make Donnie play it all the time.
You do know it.
Okay, Grant, I just need to, I need to just peel back something, because remember when we started 2002? No internet, really. Lori used to bring in CDs.
Okay. A lot of them for my movies, soundtracks.
Yes. A lot of them. And then she would bring in, like, because how many bumper songs were there a day?
10.
There 10. So Lori would bring in like 10 different CDs a day marked to the song Donnie should play for the bumpers.
I've got these CDs in studio right here.
Oh, you do have some
One
of them?
Energy show. There's lists. There's all these CDs. There's
But I brought in my CDs.
She brought in her own CDs.
My own CDs.
No, she would bring in play.
I bring in my Valley Girl
Your
CDs.
Your Valley Girl soundtrack.
She would. Gosh.
And
I mean,
I'd say, play the kids in America. We would play Harper Valley PTA. If we were talking about somebody being hypocritical in Hollywood and clutching their pearls and about anything. And I'd go, I'd be like, we got to play Harper Valley PTA. Or
play G.B. Layton here. Yeah. Play this here. Play the suburbs here. I mean, but you always, because we would do the bumper music.
I was quite sad when that all ended.
I know. And then ended.
But by the time it ended, I was ready to take all my CDs back.
I know.
Because we had like 200 here. And many of them, Donnie was like, I don't know what I did with the CD.
Oh, no.
He'd leave them in the machine. Like, my best of In Excess got lost here. And a couple of French CDs that I'd bought, you know, in France, you know, that I
to
fell in love with some great group.
Mm-hmm. And then remember Rockstar In Excess and Bret Michaels Rock of Love? We were like in love with these shows.
Yeah, we went to the Rockstar In Excess show at the Orpheum.
And I still Marty who sang Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember. And we had the local gal who sang Imagine. The local gal went to St. Paul Center who sang Imagine on Rockstar In Excess.
In Excess, yes.
Her name is...
I can't
remember. We would see her all around.
It just shows you how hard the music business is to crack into.
But she was so good. I want to say her name is Lexi or something, but I can't remember at all.
It's too far back right now.
But I mean, that's how long ago it was. I just keep kind of thinking, because we are on day 57.
Yeah, we're not going to do this kind of a countdown. That's just too mean.
Isn't mean.
And we were as that song came in too with Blink 182, One More Time, I'm thinking, wow, that would be an interesting for the last segment. One More Time.
That's one more time. That's mean
tell me
for
what,
the people who are crying so in their afternoon.
You're so funny.
But
I want to remind people, if you don't catch us live, we do have podcasts. Yeah, someone I played tennis with last night said, what? I can listen to you. We're not on the radio, and I'm like, oh, dear.
Yeah, I know it. It's
we have podcasts.
We were streaming before streaming.
We really were.
Mm-hmm.
But even podcasting before anyone even knew
about. I think one of my favorite things that the fair, I can hardly think about without crying.
So much
and
fun.
And hoping that, you know, people here will ask to be on their show so we can make we'll be stalking by every day.
Hi, do you see
our head still in there? Can we get a picture?
Can we come on and do an animal segment?
Yeah, but I would love it when someone would say, I just love listening to you girls at night. You just put me to sleep every night.
We used to be on like overnights longer than we are now. Yeah. It was funny.
Okay. So I want you to get your CEO Virgo mind out. And
all right.
You know, we've been involved with patents with our body perks, our nipple enhancers being ripped off, infringement, all these stuff. You ran the legal and business side of our body perks, nipple enhancer, kingdom that led us to the radio
show. The kingdom.
Show.
The empire. Wait
the
a minute.
Nipple kingdom.
Don't cut a shirt. The empire. Uh-huh.
So in Las Vegas, where our body perks did start, there is a very famous, and I'm going to say it's pretty famous because it's been around since 1992. And it's called the Spearmint Rhino. and it's a stripper club, you know, but it's been there since 92.
Absolutely.
It's kind
of in Las Vegas or outside?
It's one of the most popular in Vegas, I would say.
Yeah, adult cabaret. Yeah. They were doing adult cabaret when everybody else was just doing topless dancing, or you know what I mean? They did more of a catering thing so they could charge more for drinks and covered. And it had a cool name, the Spearmint Rhino and the Peppermint Lounge. Yeah. You know, it's not that. That's kind of, I don't know. They're trying for like that cool Playboy Club feel.
Absolutely.
Okay? Have you been to the Spearmint Rhino?
I have in Vegas. Yes, I have not been to the one here. I believe there's one in Minneapolis. They opened one up here in Minneapolis a few years back. They did.
Where it used to be, you know, the place I went to the grand opening.
You did
the men's. What's it? Oh, yeah. What was it called? The fancy building. No.
Oh, no.
It was on 725 Hennepin
Cheeks.
Avenue.
Cheeks. Cheeks.
It was Cheeks.
Cheeks. My girlfriend did the makeup for the women who were working that night. I got to go to the grand opening.
If you went to that grand opening, I heard that they flew in people from Vegas, from the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas, to open it up here in Minneapolis. That's
pretty cool.
It's a
big, because it's a legacy cabaret joint. Strip club.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've been to the Spearmint Rhino.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I haven't.
Yeah. I wasn't with you. I wasn't with you.
All right. Fine. Cheated on me.
I know. I know. Okay. Well, I knew you wouldn't. I mean, we like to go to a strip club that doesn't have a cover charge. That's
right. We're cheap. This is very two or drink minimum. I mean, you could even do the two drink minimum.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Right. So this guy worked at the Spearmint Rhino. He's the CEO of this new company, and he worked there for 7 years, from 2007 till 2014. And then in 2019, he opened a cabaret club called the Peppermint Hippo.
Okay, wow, that's very close.
Okay.
That's
the Spearmint Rhino and the Peppermint Hippo.
But he doesn't own the Spearmint Rhino.
No. Okay. And the Spearmint Rhino people are saying Peppermint Hippo is too confusing and you are infringing on a recognized trademark, which is Spearmint Rhino. And they're going to court because
it's right down the block from them, Lori.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it is.
That's
it
dangerous.
It is. And the Peppermint Hippo, though, has gotten a lot of people. They've been open since 2019. Mm-hmm. They've gotten a lot of Usher's a regular. Odell Beckham was just there with Kim Kardashian. They get, it's a topless cabaret.
It's more up class, upscale.
But here's the quote of the day of the guy who's who started the Peppermint Hippo.
It's behind the stratosphere.
Yes. He wants the case to be thrown out. He said, the strip club war is on. He released a statement yesterday. We won't let this ridiculous lawsuit discredit us. In the wild, hippos and rhinos coexist. Why not Las Vegas? And I'm like,
that's
funny. Close.
That's funny. And the name. I mean, a rhino and a hippo, everyone would call them one and the same. No. Spearmint, peppermint.
Oh, my God.
Very similar taste.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Good sense of humor by this guy.
It's so funny.
Subtle, but hilarious.
Well, that is, I don't know if it's a legal argument, because yes, he is correct. Rhinos and hippos do coexist in the wilderness together, so really well.
And there's spearmint and peppermint gum, which are two different things. You know?
What do you think is going to happen here?
So obviously the Spearmint Rhino is losing business to the Peppermint Hippo.
Yeah.
I'd go to the Peppermint Hippo just because I'd want to check it out and meet the idea behind it.
I'm mixed up. I can't even remember, and I've read the story.
The old one is the Spearmint Rhino. The new one's the Peppermint Hippo.
And really, if the Peppermint Lounge doesn't have a problem with it, and there is such a place in Las Vegas,
good
kind
call.
of a It wouldn't.
They're sour grapes because the Spearmint Rhino is losing business.
Yes.
Maybe they took dancers from. Maybe the Peppermint Hippo took dancers from the Spearmint Rhino. Spearmint Rhino.
You two are just. Who's on first? What's on Rhino? Yeah. Who's on second?
And if you look, they're probably. They're right behind the strip towards the freeway.
Right. The Spearmint Rhino says it is diluting because it is blurring and damaging to our horny beast and logo.
I think they have an argument.
Can imagine you're buzzed and you're getting in an Uber cab and you're the type of person who's going to go to one of these gentlemen establishments and you're buzzed. I don't know. Take me to the Spearmint Peppermint something.
Yeah.
Something. You can't differentiate as a person in a car. I wouldn't know what the difference was.
Right.
I mean, I'm just thinking of myself a couple cocktails in. Where do we go? Peppermint Spearmint? I don't know. Take me to some Spearmint place. Peppermint place.
That, or for myself, like who's been to the Spearmint Rhino before, if someone said, hey, there's a Peppermint Hippo, I'd be like, let's check out the Peppermint Hippo. So, you know, I'm like, I would definitely be passing by.
Anyway, they're getting sued. They're suing the Peppermint Hippo for trademark infringement. Let's keep people posted.
Hopefully the case settles before we're done.
That's right.
Because I don't know who else is going to cover it.
Right, I don't know either.
Rip Club Wars. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's so funny, Laurie. Oh, my gosh. All right, we are so late. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with Random Thoughts. Hey, everybody. It's Laurie and Julia here from Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. And Lori, you've been very open and honest about your plastic surgery and that we also worked with Dr. Jarvis way when we first started on the air.
That's right.
And had plastic surgery. We had our eyelids done and we had brow lifts.
That's right.
And didn't tell anyone. We were undercover then.
Right.
We were undercover. But I just, you know, people wonder, when do you do things? What age? And, you know, it's all about going in and talking to the doctors there, Dr. Singh, Dr. Tholen, or Dr. Jarvis. The consultation is at no charge. Ask every question you want. When do people use this? They've got photo galleries.
Yeah.
You know, what's the timeline? What works with what?
What's your skin like? You know, is this the right time? What is it that you want to achieve with this? Really, they really want to find out from you what you're looking to get out of it.
And they are so good at what they do. Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. Call them today and mention Lori and Julia.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
You know, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
That's all it is. Okay. This is a wild random. And I just had to look it up to see if it was true. Chlorine was first added to pools in the 1940s because it could kill polio.
Oh.
I just went and wow. So... During the polio, when polio was going around and spreading, people thought...
Was it the 40s?
It was the 40s. Mm-hmm. Disinfecting agents like alcohol, diluted Lysol, would fail to inactivate the virus. So chlorine bleach does this right. This is why public health officials started chlorinating public swimming pools decades ago in order to inactivate the polio virus. That's a good little trivia piece.
And thank God that guy came up with the vaccine for it.
Right. No, and kidding. And this is this thing I remember, because when the state fair was canceled during the pandemic, the last time it had been canceled was in 1945 due to polio, and 45 due to travel restrictions for World War II, and then 46 was due to the polio epidemic. But then they came up with that vaccine and had it back the next year. So I was like, that was like my hope that we'd have the fair.
Who was responsible for getting kids to get vaccinated?
I don't know.
With the polio vaccine. Elvis.
Oh.
Remember that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. Elvis was. We saw those ads. Okay, so this is kind of a cool thing. It's a plan ahead. But next Saturday, this Saturday, April 13th, and the following Saturday, the 20th, Northern Soda Company, which has, old-fashioned sodas and stuff, they are having Taylor Swift Saturdays.
Nice.
And one of the cool things that you can do is calling all Swifties. You from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, on both Saturdays, there's only 20 spaces available. But you can take a cookie decorating workshop, and you decorate like Taylor Swift cookies. But you master royal icing techniques and flooding cookies with color. And also during that day, they have face painting for kids.
Wow.
They've got Taylor Swift inspired soda on tap. They've got trivia. They've got a scavenger hunt. They have a Taylor Swift dance hour and song request. So it's kind of cool. So if you want to get in, because her album's coming out in between these two dates, isn't it?
April 19th.
Yep. So at Northern Soda Company, check it out. If you're a real Swiftie, it might be kind of a fun afternoon for your kids. Other things in the news. How long do you think you could do a plank for, Lori?
A what?
A plank.
Probably 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know if I could do that.
Grant? Yeah. I don't know if I can, because I don't plank right now.
I don't plank. I haven't.
I just planked yesterday on the reformer.
Is that where you put your hands and your elbows?
And your feet, and you're up on your toes.
Okay, no, I don't think I could.
Okay, so this guy.
I don't think I could do 3 minutes.
A guy planked for over 4 hours and 30 minutes. A 58-year-old grandmother in Canada broke the world record.
For her, she trained for that, because Cher has talked about planking when she tours.
Yes.
I have to, my trainer makes me get up to 6 minutes to plank.
You're up to three, you think?
I think I could do three, but my shoulders would be screaming. Yes. My shoulders would be screaming. I have weak.
I'm going to work myself up to it.
You have good shoulders.
No, I haven't been planking.
I know, but Julia, you could, if you wanted to do this with some of your free time, you could train to break this record.
I'm working on training.
And I'd be your coach, and you can also practice doing it on the reformer. But one thing about the plank, you can do it anywhere.
You can do it anywhere, because the reformer is exclusive to reformer places. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that is an exercise for your core that you can do on your own.
Yep.
Without a machine or an instructor.
Do you guys think that this is a good idea? You know, when you go to a movie and you have to hold your popcorn bucket, on your lap, or you have to put it between your legs.
What a hardship.
I know, but you put it, so a guy, I'm just asking if this is a good invention idea. A guy invented a popcorn bucket with a narrow bottom so it fits into a cup holder.
Oh. I don't like that, because it's less popcorn.
Yeah, and I think all the butter would go.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
This is not good. I like the bag for even distribution.
But not even the bag. It's a bucket.
I'm keeping it warm. At AMC, it's bags, my dear.
Even the big one's a bag?
I think so.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Easier to recycle.
I like the idea, but like you guys, you talked me out of it with the butter and the less popcorn. But initially, the idea comes to me. Good idea, because I'm always reaching over, But I like where your head's at. Less
I'm
popcorn,
ready to go to a movie
bottom.
This week.
I want people to put their hands in my lap, quite frankly. I don't need anything, and I'll put a bucket of popcorn between my legs.
I know you do, and you like
bag.
It when they grab the buttery stuff and spill on you, too.
Yeah, yeah, it's all good. It's
okay,
all good.
The new telltale sign to tell if someone's old.
Oh, okay.
What do you think it is?
I don't want to say.
Well, just both of you say what immediately came to mind.
You don't know what the slang means.
Okay.
That or tech. I was going to say that. And then the inability to learn new technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Apparently it's people who are old wear eyeshadow.
What?
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Giat.
What is GF? What?
That's apparently something that the Gen Alpha kids are saying.
What is it?
The Alpha kids.
Is it
GAT?
Where is that at? GAT.
Your coat is so cool today. It used to mean girl, your booty is thick, but now
GAT?
GAT. GYATT. You're just expressing admiration or surprise.
I'm never going to take that one up.
This is what the kids who've been born since 2012. They have a whole slang.
We're failing. Miserably.
Rizzler.
And I don't care.
Yeah.
And they don't care that they would fail ours.
Yeah.
Groovy. Okay, this is just...
Groovy.
Well, I did say Dan Wilson was swell. That was still a highlight. All right, a New York teacher threw an eclipse party. He promised to throw for his kids in 1978. This is a cute story.
Okay.
He was a middle school teacher when he was 22 years old. He said, I'll throw a party in 2024 when it happens. We'll all get together. 100 people came to his party.
That's amazing.
I would have gone.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
I thought so, too.
He's probably, if 100 kids showed up, he made an impact on some lives.
Oh, right.
You know.
Okay, stay with us. We have an author of authors. Ooh. We'll be right back. It's Lori and Julia on My Talk. Hey, everybody. We are so excited to tell you all about Beautiful, the Carol King musical. My brother, Lori's husband, and my mom just went today and just raved about it. They said it's so phenomenal.
Yeah, Casey was like, I am so excited because my mom is so excited.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing, like going to the Chan with somebody is just a fun experience. It's special. It's so cool in there.
It's so different, too.
Yeah.
And this show with Monet Sable.
Amazing.
The woman who plays Carol King is amazing. There's songs we love, we know. It's a full cast, singing and dancing. It's so much. We love it. Here's some tributes that are also happening at the Chan. Gladys Knight, Johnny Cash, Paul McCartney and Wings, and Tina Turner. Stevie Ray's Improv on Saturday and on the weekends. They offer shows on Thursdays, Lori. KNSNDT.com for tickets. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Lori and Julia Book Club. We are absolutely delighted to have Yuling Kwong on for her debut novel, How to End a Love Story. And Yuling,
happy book birthday.
Yes, it was yesterday.
Thank you so much.
You are an LA-based award-winning screenwriter and director. And you are adapting and directing Emily Henry's novel Beach Read for 20th Century Fox. And also you've adapted Henry's People We Meet on Vacation, which these are very popular books that I think our listeners would know about. But your book, oh my word, Yuling, so good. It's so good.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. I'm very happy.
I bet. So why don't you give our listeners a setup about How to End a Love Story, what it's about?
So How to End a Love Story is about a screenwriter and a novelist who were linked in high school by a really terrible tragedy. And then 13 years later, they find themselves in the TV writer's room for an adaptation of the novelist's books.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Are you Helen?
Am I Helen? I would say Helen, who is the novelist in this story. She was the editor-in-chief of her high school, and I, too, was editor-in-chief of my high school. I shared that role, though.
You did.
Then she kind of went into publishing when I went to Hollywood. So I think she's like the alternate universe, dark timeline version of me.
Okay. This book has so many themes in it, and I just want to say, I mean, you write a mean sex scene.
Thank you so much.
I
was very nervous about that.
Oh, in many of them. I mean, you know how to write that.
Yeah,
I was
sexy, funny,
really
great.
But I mean, the angst in the character of Helen, and she is a first generation Chinese woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading some of the Goodread comments, Yuling, about how I felt heard. This is my story.
Uh-huh.
How for introverts with social anxiety, this is the book. I mean, just everybody is just giving you huge accolades. But one of the things that I found really interesting, besides that I devoured it last night,
mm-hmm.
it's fast reader.
It,
Well, we love television shows and we love knowing how stuff gets made and all that kind of stuff besides loving our books.
And your scenes from what happens in a writer's room before production even starts, because you've written for two different or three different television shows, and that was fascinating.
I'm so glad. I love an inside baseball thing. I love a meta concept, and I love seeing how the sausage gets made. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I would always listen to like directors' commentaries and just be riveted. And I think we should bring them back, honestly.
I agree with you on that one.
Yes, but
it's so good, and in that you like love. You know,
oh, I love love. I am obsessed with love. Mm-hmm.
I just love that. And I, you know, one of the comments on your bio is that you were once fired from a Hallmark movie for being too hip for Hallmark, which made me laugh because and then Love in Iceland. Did you wrote that movie?
I co-wrote that with my co-writer Liz Scudlow, and we kept writing these jokes that Hallmark felt were too hip for Hallmark, and eventually they got us on a group conference call and told us they were moving in a different direction. Oh. But they retained enough of our original plot in that they go to Iceland and it's this trip and they go to these different places. So it still has kind of the structure of what we did, but mm-hmm. that was the project I was fired from, yes.
Oh, that's so funny that they heard you. How to End a Love Story is, you know, we only had one copy last night. And
Julia arm wrestled me for it, and your
publishers, you know, Kristen says, are we set for tomorrow? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, we are. And then I found your book and I'm like, I devoured it last night. And it's just one of those books that I love. When you get into it, you never want to leave. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to answer your phone. Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. And Grant and Helen's story, I don't know how it ends yet. I'm 2/3 the way through. It's captured you. It really has. You're very good at what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope that, readers connect with them the way that I did, because in the writing of it, it really did feel like I went into a fugue state and became obsessed with these characters.
Mm. Oh, and Grant is so cute.
And then the fact that you know how to write, you can write, screenwrite, you know, TV or movie. I mean, would you, when you sell this to somebody, do you want to be the screenwriter for How to End a Love Story when it goes, you know, to be an 8-part series on whoever's going to pay the most, Eileen?
Yes, exactly. I'm open to offers. I would love to do this as a television show.
Yeah.
If anyone's, you know, who's available, because I think that would be a very fun meta thing to see how this would change with the alchemy of who's in the room. And I think that would be really fun.
It would be. Oh. And I mean, I really hope that does happen, because there is a real interest in all of that. And then you've got, you know, you've got hot people in your
book.
I'm
so attached to Helen Grant. I'm so attached to them, and I don't know how it ends yet. And I just, when you talk about the writer's room, the creative in the writer's room, the very first day when everyone gets together in the writer's room, you talk about how everyone kind of puts a personal story out there about themselves, trying to get comfortable in the room, like letting, this is me raw. Is that something that kind of really happens?
I think Grant is, when it happens in the book, Grant is trying to get everybody to open up and be vulnerable. I don't think it's typically as structured as that, but I do think there is a need to be vulnerable or open to vulnerability in those rooms. Mm-hmm. So it's more like that. I think in that particular case, my personal headcanon was that Grant knew that Helen would struggle, and so he was trying to give her a structured way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about this thing.
Everything. About her book, because she was uncomfortable. She was an introvert nerd. But a really...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just... Oh, I can't wait for Lori to read it and everybody else to read it. It's just so good.
Well, are you on book tour right now, Eileen?
I am. I am talking to you from inside a hotel room in St. Louis.
Oh, meet me in St. Louis.
Are you going to a bookstore tonight?
Yeah. I am. I am going to The Novel Neighbor at 7 p.m., where I will be in conversation with the wonderful Cassie King.
Oh, what lovely. A great name, too, yes, for a bookstore.
I love that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I think anybody with, like, an alliterative name, I always feel like they have main character energy.
Yeah. a bookstore just opened here, a woman opened, called Tropes and Trifles, all devoted to everything romance.
Ooh.
And it's never been done.
Yeah, I love how many more romance novel bookstores are starting to open. In L.A., we have The Ripped Bodice, which just opened an outpost in Brooklyn a while back, and I'll be doing an event there as well tomorrow.
At The Ripped Bodice?
And I've just seen so many more. Like, I get tagged sometimes, and I see these. They all have such great names, and I'm very excited to see romance take over in the physical spaces of the world we live in.
It is the number one genre sold, so it is kind of like mind-blowing that it doesn't get the respect that it deserves.
Yeah, I think that is kind of wild too. It's when we look at the entire history of art, I feel like you can see how romance is such a thread throughout time. And so it feels more recent to me that we've developed this hang up about romance not being as prestigious as other genres.
No, we got to get over that.
What were you reading, Eulene? What romance novel kind of hooked you as a young woman?
The very first romance novel I read was Halfway to Heaven by Susan Wiggs, which is about it's set in Washington, D.C. in like the 1890s, and it's about Jamie and Abigail. Jamie is trying to get in with Abigail's powerful politician father. Abigail has kind of a leg deformity, and she's very socially awkward. And so Jamie wants to get in with her father, so she comes to him, and she's like, I'll help you with my father if you help me become less socially awkward. And he agrees, and then they slowly fall in love, of course.
Oh, of course.
And I love it. It's so vivid, your memory of it. I love that story.
And
I
can never forget your
You don't.
You don't.
And I was Wicked Loving Ways by Rosemary Rogers. I mean, I go way back.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I go.
Heard of that one.
Oh, it's old.
Yeah.
And Kathleen Woodless and, you know, Sidney Sheldon.
Yeah, I'm going to say for me, my first romance novel, and I think it was very inappropriate for the age that I was, but I.
How old were you?
I was probably 10. And I read.
Oh, wow, that is.
I know, and I read Valley of the Dolls. Maybe it's not a romance.
That is not a romance, Lori. Don't listen to her.
I don't know.
Eulene, don't listen to her. Eulene is like Jolene. Is that a popular name? Eulene.
It's not. But you know what? My cousin is also named Eulene Kwong. I was here first.
Okay. We know that. So when you're out on this tour, what is like the best compliment that someone can give you about your book? I mean, this is your debut novel.
You know, I come from the world of fandom, and back in my fan fiction days, I always loved when people told me their favorite line from something. But it's just that never gets old. It's really nice to because it took a lot of squeezing blood from rocks.
Right. To have your words come back to you is fantastic.
I wish I would have had that. I wish I would have had that ready for you.
Yeah.
And How to End a Love Story, the title.
Yes.
I'm not done.
Right.
I'm not done. I mean, a line is really good. I mean, that is a moving thing. And I always wonder, and the title is just because of what we're going to read? Or
Are you going to keep writing?
Wait, let her finish. Wait, okay. What?
Well, the original title was Good in a Room. And that kind of a reference to the way Grant is good in a room.
Yes.
However, I was told that if I wanted to have a cover without people on it, then I needed to convey romance. And so I had this kind of word salad notes document where it was love this, love that. And eventually we landed on How to End a Love Story. And we designed a beautiful cover that I really loved. And then sales department told us no, because people actually won't be able to tell what this book is about. And they were right. They were right about that. And so we changed the cover, and now there are people on it. And I do love this cover as well.
I wouldn't even have thought of that. Yeah.
I love the cover. And isn't that interesting that they know what they're doing?
know, right? Sales is there to make this book popular, and I'm here to hopefully make it compelling once you open it.
That's right. And then be able to write another book. Which,
I mean, do you have another one lined up that you're writing right now? I mean, is this, or are you going to go direct the movie, or what's the plan?
So it was a 3-book deal that I sold. Oh, wow. So I did 2 more books to write. However, I have been a bit swamped with the Emily Henry adaptations. Yep. And so it might be a bit longer than I would like. You know, one of the things I admire about Emily is that she is so consistent. Her books, they come out and they're so good every year. And it's so great. And I feel like I won't be as on schedule as that, but hopefully you'll get to watch the adaptations soon and consider that my work too, because I work across mediums.
I just love it. I am so delighted to meet you and to read this novel. People are going to love it. How to End a Love Story by Yulene Kwong, and it's just a treat. People are going to die and love it, and we can't wait to see the movies too that you've done, and this should be a limited series. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Lori, you're going to love it. Everyone's going to love this.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Oh, good. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Learning Rx with 7 metro-wide locations. You know, sometime coming up soon, we're going to be celebrating their 15th anniversary.
Oh, I cannot believe
that. In our
that.
Community. They have changed lives for so many people.
It's so true. And they are, I mean, when you think of how those guys, Rich and Baird, got into it. I mean, for their kids,
they totally did it for their own kids.
At the end of their rope, there was no help at school, and they knew they had smart kids, something else was going on, and they figured out, there's a whole way of learning assessment and a cognitive brain training that works similar to how you think of one-on-one physical or PT training,
right?
Physical therapy.
And it works. It works. They are so good at what they do. Schedule your one-hour assessment today by calling 952-949-6900. And mention Lori and Julia, and the assessment is 50% off. They've got 7 metro-wide locations. It works. Hollywood speaking! What's the meaning of this?
Well, I'll tell you what. With every actor in Hollywood that doesn't have an acting job having a podcast, we're just finding out just a lot of stuff that people don't ever admit to other talk show hosts, but admit to each other on their celebrity podcast. So Oliver Hudson, he's got this sibling rivalry podcast, and sometimes he does it with Kate, and if she's acting,
sister Kate Hudson,
he'll do it with someone else, and
he spilled the beans.
Well, he spilled a couple beans. Mm-hmm. He was with Robin Lively, Blake Lively's sister.
Oh, I didn't even know she had one.
Yeah.
All right, I got to look it up. Robin Lively.
He basically, both of them admitted they're jealous of their sister's fame.
They did?
Yeah. He said, Oliver said, there's always a part of me that's like, bleep, man, why can't I do that? I want to do a role like that. I want to work with people like that. I want to make that kind of money.
We know.
I don't
want to
be bleeping, hustling for everything.
Okay, Robin Lively, we know she was in the Karate Kid, Teen Witch, Someone Like You. Look at her picture, Lori. We know this actress.
Yeah, but we don't know her.
I didn't even know she was an actress.
Yeah.
And that's her sister. They look completely different. Wow.
Robin Lively?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Robin with the Y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he, you know, I guess he struggles to get an acting job.
We loved him on Nashville.
That was the last good thing we've seen him in.
Well, he was in The Cleaning Lady.
Yeah, she told him she understands. I have the same feelings where I'm like, ugh, she's getting to work with so-and-so and travel with so-and-so? Yes. But honestly, I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
And that was a better response.
That is a better response.
And then he also admitted to Robin Lively that when he got engaged to be married to his wife that he has right now, he cheated on her because he's, quote-unquote, spiraled after the engagement. You know. Mm-hmm. Had a panic attack that he was going to be with one woman for the rest of his life, theoretically.
Okay, Oliver Hudson and Kate Hudson have the same mother and father. But then their younger brother, who was on that great show on Apple Plus.
Monarch, Legacy of Monsters.
Wilder.
Wyatt Russell.
Wyatt Russell is their half-sibling. And he was this junior hockey player and played all these sports.
And the love child of Kurt and Goldie.
Yes, and so had a different experience in childhood because something Oliver Hudson said, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, is that he had trauma, childhood trauma, because his mom would basically desert him. But I just, he corrected himself.
Good.
But basically he said, you know, my mom would be gone all day and we would just be hanging around. And I said, well, welcome to how we all grew up in the 70s.
Yeah, Oliver is telling too much.
Well,
I feel like his sibling rivalry is going to, all these things he's spilling, I wish he would get an acting job so he wouldn't have to tell us all this stuff.
Well,
it really makes no difference.
And this Robin Blake.
In fact, it's taking away my buzz for him.
I know. It's too much sharing.
It is. He's oversharing.
I think so.
All right.
Grant, you know how Lori feels about that. Yeah. Especially for men.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know when
and
to stop.
And women. No, no. We know. You just look through us at the point when you disengage from a conversation.
Yes, well, and that's okay.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just to me, these are like really...
These are important. These are deep these are deep thoughts.
Wouldn't be happy if I was his wife with, you know, some of that. But here's an, I want you to Hollywood.
I just want you, wait before you move on. Robin Lively and Blake Lively are half siblings.
Doesn't matter. They
no, because they don't look alike. I'm looking at them, seeing I don't recognize them. And there's a big age gap.
But if they recognize each other as sisters.
Of course. Yeah. I'm just saying. The older one is 52 years old. The younger one is, what, 30?
Yeah, so they have different dads.
They have a
dads.
Different age. But way different ages.
Okay. Different dads, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or different dads or different moms.
Well, you wouldn't let me finish.
Different moms, I'm going to say, with that big of an age gap. Same dad, different mom.
From their mother. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Back to you.
It always has to be different if with that big of an age gap.
But you would recognize her from movies that we used to see back in the day.
Don't know the name.
You would recognize her.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
No BravoCon this year. The annual gathering of Bravo celebrities has been called off until 2025. What's the word on this, Julia?
There's too much drinking and too much suing going on right now for the Bravo production team. We were just trying to figure out how to be correspondents.
Yeah, we were.
We're going to have to work on our resumes and be correspondents in 2025.
Yeah. Andy did a little promo, but yeah, I bet you're right. There is too much legal Beagle stuff, because it was very successful, the BravoCon last year in Vegas.
In Vegas, it was huge. But
people were very satisfied with going to Vegas.
I think there's too much going on this year. Okay. They want the heat to cool a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's another one. This is Aoki Lee Simmons. We talked about her.
Dating the older man just to go to St. Bart's and have
free
trips.
She's now declared herself on Instagram, I'm Depresso Espresso. She's sitting on a bunch of black plastic bags, packages. She really wants to be an Insta influencer, and I got to believe she already is. Aoki.
Yeah.
After all, she's been in the news
since the
consistently
day she
since she was kissing and making out and frolicking on a beach in St. Bart's with a 65-year-old. I bet she's gotten 100,000 new followers.
Of course she has.
Good job.
Yeah,
Aoki.
No kidding. Aoki Okoki.
Yeah, but don't do any more sugar daddy stuff. Now you can move on and do better stunts.
I like
that. That's the Hollywood speak on that. Sam Taylor Johnson, who has a movie out right now called...
I'm not helping you.
You're not helping me?
Well, the one that just came out with Elizabeth Hurley? No.
Directed that.
No, what was the one? All right, Sam Taylor Johnson.
Sam Taylor, it's just out. We were just talking about it the other
day. Hold on. Here it is.
It's in theaters right now.
I'm looking.
We were surprised she directed it.
She did 50 Shades of Grey. If we can Nowhere Boy, 50 Shades, Million Little Pieces.
Uh-huh.
Hunters, Solos, Rye, Black Rain. No.
She's doing the Amy Winehouse, Back to Black.
Thank you. Okay, that did not make it on
her
list.
Well, because the movie hasn't opened yet, but she's directed the Back to Black Amy Winehouse.
Back in Black.
Biopic, and people were pissed that Amy's mom and dad came together, even though they're divorced.
So why are people pissed about that?
Well, because her dad, he's a very controversial, if you know your Amy Winehouse stuff, he A lot of issues
and
there.
And a lot of anger.
But yes, Sam Taylor Johnson told The Hollywood Reporter it took her 4 years to regain her confidence and composure after 50 Shades of Grey.
I believe you. Why? 100% believe you.
Because of all the criticism?
All the criticism.
And what's his name? Charlie Hunnam walked off the set. She had to work with E.L. James, who wrote some of the most treacly, garbagey dialogue I've ever read in a book.
She started out doing videos, and she did a couple for Elton John, R.E.M.
But 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The Weeknd.
That's how much E.L. James was a nut on that set. She sold that movie with her input.
Yeah, I know she did. All right, we will be back, everybody.